Why don't we say a prayer at the end? Oftentimes at the end of something, we sing something to the Mother of God, to the Theotokos. Do you know what Theotokos means? Yeah, it means, literally the word means birth giver of God. So Theotokos means birth giver of God. Why would we say that a human being gave birth to God? How does that happen? Why do we say that? What do you think? That's an important question. It's okay not to know the answer. It's not okay not to be sure. I mean, you need to know the answer. So I'll tell it to you. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were not perfect, but they were going to become perfect. They had everything they needed. They had all the fruits of the garden. They were very intelligent, more intelligent than all of us put together. But they were children. Not children like we see children today, right? Where children are disobedient and children do silly things. They were just not yet mature in Christ. And God wanted them to know him, and he was going to tell them a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. So that they would be able to absorb this and know him. Well, what got in the way of that, of course, was sin. Where Eve ate of the apple, or it wasn't really an apple, but ate of the fruit. And that she gave to Adam, and they were disobedient to God, right? And when they were disobedient to God, suddenly they lost this ability to have this intimate knowledge with God, just talking to him, like we're talking about, right? They were afraid of him. So they put coverings on themselves because they were naked. They were afraid of God. And then all that stuff happened, went on, right? Even when they were being put out of the garden, God said to them, to Eve, he said, well, the serpent is going to strike at your heel, and you're going to crush its head. What that means is that from Eve would eventually come Christ. Because from Eve comes another woman, and another woman, and another woman, eventually Mary the Theotokos, and eventually then Christ. So from Eve, she's the mother, you know, way, way, way many generations back of Jesus Christ. That's what it talks about. The serpent is hitting at her heel, and she's crushing its head. In other words, Satan tempts us, gets us to sin, but eventually Christ is going to come and crush the head of the serpent, make it so that we can have eternal life. Jesus Christ, being God always and making the world, saw our situation where man was going to be ignorant of God forever. Man was born eternal. When God made man, he made him to be permanent. So he wasn't going to go back on his promise. God doesn't do that. He made man to be eternal. But imagine being eternal and never knowing God. What a terrible thing. What a terrible tragedy. So, Jesus Christ became man in order to teach us the way to know him, the way to conquer sin, live that life of perfection. He taught it to his disciples, and to their disciples and such, even up to now. And then he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit, so that we would be able to learn all those things so that we can know God. We say she's the mother of God. God became man. Of course, she didn't create God. God created everything. But if she's the mother of man, so what? All of your mothers are the mothers of men. My mother's the mother of a man. There's nothing special about that, right? We have mothers of men all the time, right? Mothers of fallen human beings all the time. But Jesus Christ is not a fallen human being. He was a perfect. So, we say she's the mother of God. Because Jesus Christ, wherever Jesus Christ is God and man, right? It's not separate. Jesus is not these two parts that you can take apart. He's one person, but with two natures. Everywhere you go, your left arm goes with your right arm. You can't separate them. And so neither does Christ become separated from being God and man. He's always God, he's always man. So you can refer to Christ as God, you can refer to him as this, as also a man, but he's both at the same time. So for as a shorthand, to make sure that people know that Mary gave birth to a person who was unlike any other person ever, we say she's the mother of God. And that's, it's kind of a little bit hard to understand because she certainly didn't create God, but she certainly did give birth to Jesus Christ, who is God and man at the same time. And I know that's maybe a little complicated to you, because I'm not really sure how I don't know you well enough to know how well you understand English and if I'm speaking slowly enough and such. But you'll start to learn that. You'll start to learn that Mary is the mother of God by living your life. And I'm telling you, when I first became an Orthodox Christian, I had been raised Roman Catholic. And Roman Catholics have ideas about Mary that are similar, and also ideas about Mary that are very, very different than role of an Orthodox. And I didn't like those different ideas. And when I became Orthodox, I kind of was a little uncomfortable about Mary. I believed, yes, she was the mother of God, and I believed that she was ever virgin and all the things that are we teach. They didn't really ring in me. They didn't really resonate in me. They didn't really, I don't know if you know that word resonate. It's, I couldn't really feel them in my, like the beating of my heart, you know? I couldn't really feel them. And as I become older, right? Now I'm just an old fat guy, you know, I'm 60 years old. And I've been a Christian now for 35 years, more than 35 years, since 1980. In living the ups and downs of trying to be a Christian, sometimes being a pretty terrible one, but always trying, always trying. I understand by experience that Mary is the mother of God. It's in my heart that I know it. And it's very hard for me to actually tell you, because the heart, I can't tell you what's in my, I can't literally tell you exactly what's in my heart. Nobody can. I can try to share my heart with you by experience, by you knowing me and I knowing you. Then you start to know my heart. But until then, you can't really know what's in my heart. And I can never tell you exactly what I feel. And neither can you. You can't do that. It's impossible. It's not possible. You can say approximate words. If you really love someone, you say, I love you. But that it's much deeper than just saying a word, right? You learn about the Theotokos by reading about her, by reading theological books, by the services, which you don't have enough of the services. And hopefully that's going to change, especially when the dormitory is built. Do you know that we have over $17,000 already for the dormitory? We think we need 45. Already, there's been donations of over $17,000. And then, hopefully we'll be 20 by the end of the day. We'll be almost halfway there in less than a week. Now, things generally slow down after a while, but God willing, before Pascha, there'll be the money. And that money will be then used to build a dormitory and the other things that have to be done. Then, it's a lot easier to have permanent services, right? Because this is not a permanent chapel, right? So you have a chapel, and you have services every day, and you start to learn about Vespers, and you start to learn about Compline, and you start to learn about Matins. Not just how the services are done, but you read, you hear the things sung, and they're just beautiful. And if you have this stuff wash over you again and again every day, and you're reading the Bible, and you're struggling to be a Christian, and you're hearing the services, and they matter to you, right? Not that you just go, okay, I'm supposed to go to chapel. I'm bored. Okay, it's going to be 40 minutes. I'm just going to kind of sit here until it's done. I mean, you can do that, right? I mean, has anybody ever done that in class? Come on, we have, right? We go to class, and we're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to sit here. Hope the teacher doesn't call on me because I'm tired. I don't care about what he's talking about, right? Yeah. Right? It happens, right? Hopefully not every class, right? But it happens, right? Don't let it happen in church very often. Try very hard to not let it happen in church very often. It will happen because you're human, right? Happens to me. But struggle really hard, and then you'll start to know these things that I talk about, like I say, Theotokos. So now I could have a test question. What does Theotokos mean? And you could write down Mother of God or Birth Giver of God. And I would say A+. But what does that mean to you? Right? It only means something to you when you live it. And when I see how weak I am, and yet God loves me, and yet God wants me to know Him, and I know that the path to knowing Him is through His mother, right? Because He chose to become a man through a human being, right? He didn't just buy a magic wand, you know, he just didn't just say, poof, here's Jesus, right? He came through a human being, right? And so that's really important. And I feel it in my heart. I can feel it. As sure as I can feel my heartbeat, right? You hold your hand on your fingers on your wrist here and you can feel your pulse, that's your heart, right? I can feel it beat. It's part of me, right? And I can feel the Theotokos because she's part of me now, right? I've learned about her through my own experiences. That's it. Yes, sir.
Yes, Father. You find that most of the time as you pray for the Theotokos to pray for us, you find that sometimes what you are praying for, sometimes you may be angered. So let me ask you, we were told She remained virgin.
Yes.
After giving birth.
Yes.
Okay, I could get this and everything. She right. remained virgin?
She did.
So, meaning that she did not give birth to another child?
Correct.
Only Jesus Christ, and then she died with only Jesus Christ as the Son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I'll explain to you why. See?
Because, see, that's... Because in the Bible, we find that they were told the son, the brother to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning that they were the children to Joseph.
Correct. Correct. Okay. And that's very easy to explain in terms of history, because there's a word in that culture where brother and cousin are basically the same word, right? Right? I mean, can't I say that we're brothers? Are we brothers? Aren't we? Of course we're brothers, yes. Right? Now, if some alien from a million years from now comes down and sees and listens to what we were talking about and says, Father Seraphim said he's a brother to Moses, that must mean they have the same mother, right? Well, that's not true, right? We don't have the same mother, but we are brothers. So brother meant brother or cousin in that culture. Joseph had children from a previous marriage. His wife died. He is a widower. And he was older. He was 85 when he took care of Mary. Now, there's something deeper, though, okay? So we can say, yes, it's history. We believe this dogma. A dogma is something that is absolutely true and always will be true. Like, God is Trinity, right? That's dogma. Can't ever change that. We can believe, and it is dogma, that Mary is ever virgin, right? She was a virgin before giving birth, so she did not, a man was not involved in her having a child. Every other human being ever, a man is involved, only with her. She became pregnant by the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, right? So because of that, when Jesus was born, he was not just a normal, regular human being. You have a man and a woman, and they have a baby. That's just another human being, just like them, right? Sinful like them, weak like them. Jesus Christ wasn't like that, because his humanity came from Mary, but he didn't have the additional that he imbued his human nature with his God nature, right? He made his God nature was always with his human nature, helping his human nature, making his human nature be able to be perfect. So when Mary gave birth to Jesus, can you just imagine this? Now we can't really imagine this very easily because we don't have bellies that have babies in them, right? Only women. Women have a child grow inside them and they can feel the child move. They can sometimes even discern the moods of the child and know when the child is sleeping. And that child is with them for 9 months. You can't get any closer than that. You can't hug somebody closer than that. A child inside your body, growing. And now this child is not just a human being, but is also God. What an experience that must be, to have God and man growing inside her. Wouldn't that change a person? So why would she want to do anything that is just regular stuff and have more children? She had Jesus. Why would she have any interest in that whatsoever? Right? We know that in heaven, there will be no marriage, right? It'll be just like the angels. Doesn't mean that the wife that you love, you'll stop loving her in heaven. Right? You'll know her. But there won't be the physical or any of the other human kinds of relationships. We'll be like in a very spiritual sense. We'll be physical, right? Because we'll have bodies, but we won't have the same sort of desires for our bodies that we have now, being hungry, and sexual desire, and all those other things. That those won't be present, right? So Mary had God in her heart, in her body. She experienced some foretaste of heaven there. If you experience that, why would you be interested in raising more children when you have Jesus Christ? So Mary is ever virgin, not only because we teach it as a dogma, but because it's the only thing that makes sense. To have God grow within her body, and then to say, I'm just going to be a normal Jewish housewife and have multiple children, it doesn't make any sense. See? So I didn't know that until I'd lived some time as an Orthodox Christian. All I ever heard was people say, Mary's ever virgin, we preach that, it's in our services, etc., etc. Okay. Joseph's children are from another woman, etc., etc. And that's all true. But the inner meaning is, if you encounter Christ in a really intimate way, you're going to change. You're not going to be the same person anymore. And who could encounter Christ more intimately than the woman who had him grow inside her? Right? That's why she's ever a virgin. You'll learn those things as you live the Christian life. Got to get a Bible. You got to get a Bible, you got to read it. You have to say your prayers. You got to, hopefully, Father can help you get some short prayers in Swahili or in Kikuyu, whichever you prefer, or in English. Whatever you want to do, that you understand, that you know when you say the prayer, it's inside you when you say it. And when you read the Bible, it's going to help you a lot. It's going to help you a lot to feel these things. Now remember, you know, I'm an old fat guy, right? I'm 60 years old. I've been a Christian since 1980. I've been an Orthodox Christian since 1980. Since March something of the 1980. It might have been, it's probably April something of 1980. It took a while for me to learn these things. All I said to people before for 10, 15, whoever many years, yeah, Mary's ever virgin because of this and this and this. But then now I feel it. Now I've experienced it. See? And that's the kind of thing that you need to transmit to people. But you can't transmit your experiences until you have them. It's not possible, right?
Yeah.
Until you experience things, then you can transmit. All right, we've gone on for a long time, for an hour and 18 minutes. That's probably long enough.